It's so appropriate that we're talking about investing in God's plan and not necessarily having him bless our plan, because there's so much going on today. There's so many things in the air. First of all, Molly Korpela, welcome home. I have no idea. Well, you want to come up and tell us where you're at? What are you doing? I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet. Molly was here when Evangel started.
Hi, my name is Molly. For the strangers, the rest of you, hi. It's so good to be here. I live in Anchorage. That's where Hannes and I settled down. I work at the Native Hospital. I work at health education. Hannes is retired, and he takes care of our 14-year-old adopted son. So he has special needs, so say a prayer for him. So as people that are involved with special needs, you know you need a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's putting me on the spot. So there's not much. I'm involved with a lot of Native things back there. I went back home, learned how to Eskimo dance. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
So, it's not the style that I grew up in, but it's really close, and so I really enjoy it. So I think the thing I want to leave with everybody, sorry, Jeff, I'm preaching this morning, this is that God is full of mercy and grace.
Yeah.
And there isn't anything he can't do.
Amen.
And there isn't anything he can't fix. And he's just wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Love that girl today. Because you have a value for hearing what God has to say, I just want to share with you a word that Mark Schmutz got at the beginning of the year. Some of you may have heard it, but many of you know that Bob Jones and Bobby Connor came strolling through town one time a while back. And had a prophetic word that there were eagle's nests on the West Coast, and there were three of them. At least that was the message at the time. I think since then it's increased to seven. But he said that there were three eagle's nests, and he knew one was in Albany and one was in Reading. And then as he walked into came into the city, he felt like Longview was the third eagle's nest. And so we have held on to that word. Enjoyed that word. We've been blessed by it, but it's also been part of our growth and development here as a body of Christ in this area. So Mark had a word that the Lord gave him at the beginning of the year, and the word was this: what Albany prophesied and what Reading sings about, Longview will do. What Albany prophesied and what Reading sings about, Longview will do. And I think there's evidence of it today. We have always felt like in this city we are somewhat flying under the radar, able to avoid much of the destructive strategy of the enemy. We're covered, we're protected, we're kind of laying low. And you'll hear that word again today. And so I am just so blessed to be part of what God's doing here. And I can honestly say it's what God's doing here. It's not what man's doing here. I want to talk a little bit about that today, about God's plan versus our plans. And many of you know this scripture. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually our prayer. But it's out of Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. It says, "This then is how you should pray." The disciples asked Jesus how they should pray, and he said this: "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy, honored is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is Jesus telling us how to pray. "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's how Jesus taught the church to pray. Those were Jesus' instructions, and there were very few throughout the Gospels of him talking about us how we should live our lives in regards to prayer. And here he's telling us how to pray. N.T. Wright, a contemporary theologian who has got a strong voice in the church today, especially the emerging church, said this: when Jesus gave his disciples this prayer, he was giving them part of his own breath, giving them part of his own life, giving them part of his own prayer. So it wasn't just, this is how you do it. N.T. Wright is saying, this is how Jesus did it. This is how he did it, and he was giving that to us. The prayer is actually a distillation of his own sense of vocation, his own understanding of his Father's purposes. If we are truly to enter into it and make it our own, it can only be if we first understand how he set about living the kingdom himself. So his prayer came out of the way he lived his life. Our prayers should come out of the way we live our lives. They're not prayers that open the door for living differently necessarily, but they're an expression of what it's like when you're living your life for Christ, when you're living the kingdom. Notice that it says, "Our Father, forgive us, lead us, deliver us." You can see that the Lord's Prayer is much more of a corporate prayer than it is an individual prayer. And a lot of times we take the Lord's Prayer and we personalize it and say, you know, "My Father, forgive me, give me, lead me, deliver me." And a lot of times it gets a little bit wonky when we do that, because that's not really what Jesus said. He says, "Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us." So if we take into account that's how Jesus taught us to pray, you'd think you'd see some evidence that that was implemented into the church early on, and it was. The Didioche, which is it's a kind of a catechism. It's a tradition that was developed early in the church, probably between the mid to first or to the end of the first century, right after Jesus exited the scene. It actually says, "Let not your fast be with the hypocrites, for they fast the second and fifth day of the week, but fast on the fourth day of the week in preparation." This sounds very religious, very Jewish. "Neither pray as the hypocrites, but as the Lord commanded in his gospel, pray this way." And then they quote the Lord's Prayer in the Didioche. And so even early on, within decades of Jesus' move to heaven, exit from earth, the church embraced this as a way to live their life before the Lord and before each other. So we worship God every time we pray and every time we give our lives to him. Every time we make a statement that what he wants is important, it's our worship to him. It's not just the songs we sing or the words we say or declare, but it's the way we live our lives is worship. And I think we miss that. And especially in this day, in this culture, it's difficult to embrace the full depth of what that means. Jesus taught his followers to pray and commit themselves to God's will. In fact, in one of my favorite scriptures, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that God's will is good and perfect. God's will is good and perfect, and that it fits you. One of the first steps towards discovering God's will for our lives is not doing something different, but choosing to let him change the way we think. And the church is notorious for this. What people will typically come into the church is they'll come in and they'll say, "So how do I act like a Christian? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to get rid of? I need to change the way I speak." So they'll listen closely and watch closely to what you're saying and doing. And they'll develop, and discipleship typically in the American church is just watching and listening what people do around you. But that's not really how discipleship happens. Discipleship, true discipleship, happens by God changing the way you think about things. Because our mind is what needs to be renewed. And if your mind is renewed, your actions come after that. But if, and this is a dangerous thing to do, if you try to change your behavior without having your mind renewed by God, you end up being very religious, very judgmental, very controlling about the way you live your life in Christianity. Because our mind needs to be transformed. And he really will change the way we think about things. It says this: "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." That's what it says in Romans 12, chapter 2. It says in Isaiah 48, "I'm the Lord your God who teaches you what is good and leads you along the path you should follow." So this whole changing your mind thing isn't something we just choose to do. It's something we learn to do. He teaches you by changing the way you think, and then you let that come out in your actions because your character begins to change. So it's very different than if we set out to be good Christians, we would create rules, we'd follow the rules, somebody would enforce the rules, and there'd be punishment if you didn't follow the rules. That's the way most people would do Christianity if it was up to them. God does it completely different. He changes the way we think, and so our character changes, and then our actions follow after that. So let's talk about the way we pray, because this is really important. Most of our prayers start out as requests. Most people pray, and they're encouraged to ask God for anything you want, because it says that in John 15. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And so we start asking. Immediately, we start asking. But seldom do we spend much time listening in prayer. Early on, the more maturity that you have as a prayer person, a person of prayer, the more time you actually spend listening and less time talking. Because you realize that this is a two-way conversation between you and God. And we have to listen. We have to pay attention to what he's saying. Because he has some things he wants to say. He has some things to say. So that's kind of how it all unfolds. When we do make our request known to God, typically we ask him to do this. And this is kind of, I have to admit, this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Because it happens so much in the church, and don't think that I'm targeting you when I say this. But so many times our prayers are framed in, God, help me do this. Help me be this. Help me go here. Help me change this. Help me, help me, help me. As if God's kind of this puppet master and you want him to slip his hand into you and start making you do things. Help me do this stuff. Or, the focus seems to be a lot on what we want to do, and we're asking God to empower us to do the things that we feel called to do. And we do that, and that's true, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But when we start our prayers with help me or give me, he's faithful, but he's only going to give us what our character can handle. He's not going to give us everything that we want, because many of us, our character can't handle that kind of, it's like giving a kid an AK-47, and then saying, go have a nice time. You're gonna blast everybody around you, and it'd be a mess. So he gives us what our character can handle. And so a lot of times when we pray and say, give me, help me, we're asking the wrong thing. Rarely do we really ask the Lord what he wants to do. What is it that you're, this is my favorite prayer in corporate prayer. Lord, what are you doing? Show me what you're doing and show us how we can come alongside you. Show us how we can enter into what you're doing. Show us how we can be involved in the things that are on your heart. Show us your heart, show us what you're doing, and let us come into what you're doing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Wherever your heart is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where your heart is, the desires will be. If your heart is always, help me, give me, I want this, I need this, I want to go here, I want to do this, give me all my money, give me all the time, help me get out of my job, I want to do this all for nothing all the time. For one, our character usually can't handle that. Secondly, those aren't really God's plans, those are our plans that we're asking him to bless. Those are what we want to do, and we want the power, the strength, the energy, the time, the money to do them. And so we're asking him. And this is really difficult in American Christianity because in the American culture, because the American culture says you can have whatever you want, just go get it. Or, go borrow the money to get it, or something. But rarely do we look at these things as God's plans that we can enter into. So, what are God's plans? It says in Jeremiah 29, one of the most quoted scriptures at graduation of all, I know the plans I have for you, the Lord says. But the context of that, which I don't think I'm going to really go into that today, but if you look at the few verses before that and the few verses after that, you can see the context of that scripture. Take some time. You have notes. Take them home. Read them. Because that context is really important. God isn't just saying, I know the plans I have for you, and I'm going to give you everything you want. first of all, these people are in captivity. So this is a little bit, you have to understand that these are people who are in captivity that he's saying this to. And I love this, but we don't have time for it today. So read that, look at that. So submitting to God's plans. There's evidence, all the evidence may point that to difficult times, and it likely makes you feel a little squeamish about the plans that God has for you. It's a little uncertain. I mean, our president tweeted something today. Because he does every day. So who knows what's going on, but it's daily. Things happen in this nation daily. Things change daily. And so it's not, we're not even on the news cycle anymore. Things are changing very rapidly. And it may make you a little bit nervous. But one thing's for sure, his will being done, God's will being done in our lives is the best path we can be on. And Jesus said that. He said, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." And that's really the way to start your day. I don't know what's going to happen today, Lord. All I can say is, your will be done. You do what you want. I'm going to fall into place with what you want. So submitting ourselves to God's will sounds like we think we're incapable of doing things right, like we can't do it ourselves. The truth is, when we submit to him and submit to his plan, we don't become inactive. We become much more active in the process. When you're submitting to God's will, you need to listen a lot more. You need to pay attention. You need to be obedient. You need to follow through with the things you say you're going to do. So submitting ourselves to God's will is actually much more of an active process than it is passive. Jerry and Leslie, come up here. I guess what I want you to see is that God has things that he's doing. He has things that he's up to. My desire is to know what he's doing and involve myself in what he's doing. And so Jerry and Leslie are about to go on a journey, and we're going with them because they're part of the family. So where they go, we go. And this is a really important journey that started a while back, and we just want to lay a little bit of this out for you. It involves all these amazing drums that are up here. Jerry's been building drums for a long time, but I don't think he's ever done anything like he's just finished. And by the way, with a lot help from a lot of you who have came alongside him and encouraged him, prayed for him, actually helped him build these drums. But it's an incredible story. And I think let's start off by, there was a revival in Kentucky in 1790 called the Red River Revival, which led to the Second Great Awakening, a huge move of God across the South, which I think somebody was telling me today, many people attribute that to the initial foundation for what we call the Bible Belt, came through this revival. And it was an interesting revival because it started in one place with one group, with one pastor and one building, which is that building up there. And then it spread from there all throughout that area, and it, like, there were these fires that popped up everywhere. The revival wasn't just located in this one building. It seems to, some people believe that it began in that building, but it quickly spread like fire. And that was called the Red River Revival in 1790. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that, but I found this picture, and there's a tree off to the left that looks strikingly similar to these drums. We're not saying that's the tree, because the tree had to come down because it was struck by lightning a couple times and was in danger of falling on the cabin, which is now a landmark. And so some people who are taking the tree down, who are actually removing the tree, called a guy that Jerry and Leslie have come to know. His name's Travis Vod. And anyway, called him and said, "We think this tree's significant. We want you to come and get it." And a couple other people, Ray Hughes, Ricky Skaggs, felt like there's some instruments that were supposed to be made of that tree. it looks a lot like that tree. I don't know if that's it, but that's definitely the cabin.
It's the idea anyway.
And the idea is pretty remarkable. Leslie, why don't you just share a little bit about the tree and how that unfolded?
So what happened was Travis was, he's a cattle rancher. So he was working and somebody gave him a call and said, hey, guess where I'm at? And he goes, you're at the Red River Revival site. He goes, I am. And we're taking a tree down. And do you want some of it? And so he said, yeah. So he drove from South Dakota to Kentucky, got the tree, got his portion of it, you know, because other people were taking portions as well, like Jeff said. And he brought it back. And the way I understand it is he sat on that wood for 4 years. Yeah. And one day his wife came up to him and said, it's time to release the war drums. So then he went pursuing who am I going to get to build these drums? Who am I going to get to build these drums? And through inquiry, he got Jerry's name. So then he drove the wood from South Dakota to Longview, and Jerry built the drums along with a lot of collaboration, which he's never had collaboration on any project like he has. It's been wonderful. Just really sweet. Anyway, and so we are about to drive those drums back to South Dakota on Tuesday.
Yeah. Here's a picture of what somebody drew of what they feel like the revival looked like at that camp. Another one that just they use as advertising. This is, again, the picture. It's a striking. This cabin is there today. And then here's a picture of Travis and his wife, Jen Vad, from South Dakota. They actually live there and have lived there for quite a while. He's pastoring a small group of people and has quite a... What's striking is recently he's seen a huge influx of natives that are coming to his church, which is really a remarkable thing. So something's in the air. Somebody, they're sensing something going on. This is the word that his wife Jenna had, clarion call, hear my clarion call. There's a fire sweeping across the prairie. Lay low, lay low. I have not set you free so that you cannot control me, so that you can control me. I'm untamable. I am wild. I am free. I will not be tamed. Lay yourself low. And then this is the first part of the word about the drums. This is the word that she got from the Lord. I hear a heartbeat. I hear a war drum. I hear the beating of a heart. I hear the beating of a drum. I hear the beating of many hearts. I hear the beating of many drums. It's time to release the sound of the heart. It's time to release the sound of the drum. It's time. It's time for the heartbeat of this land to return. It's time for the beating of the drum to return to this land. It's time. So, Jerry, maybe you could talk a little bit about the process. Well, first of all, Leslie, tell them about the pushback that Travis and his wife have gotten, because we had a phone conversation with him during a pastor's prayer time recently, and he told us the story of some of the price he's paid for moving in this direction. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, you know, when you work together on projects as couples, you know, that's the first place the enemy's going to go, especially if you're in ministry together. You know, and a lot of couples don't minister together. They don't work together. You know, either the husband or the wife does it, and they have the full support, but they don't do it together. And it's a whole nother thing when the couples are doing it together, and these two minister together. And they had quite a hit, a satanic hit, witchcraft, come in, and it was very divisive, you know, in a strategic time as they're planning and working towards this event. And I mean, to the point where they ended up having to go off for some emergency marriage counseling. It was intense. There was someone that came in and got in the middle of them and was speaking, and you know, it happens to everybody at one time or another. But I understand it, because we were having rough weeks too. You know, I could have just throttled him a dozen times over. I was so angry for what I don't know, you know, really. And then, you know, but Holy Spirit reveals, and, you know, and he, Travis had said a couple times, and pray for our marriage. Pray for our marriage when you're praying. And I thought, yeah, pray for ours too, you know? And I don't even think Jerry was like, you know, I don't know, but you know, I was a cranky one. So, yeah, it was, it was really intense, and the Lord has pulled them through. But it was just a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, drums.
Let's move this table out of the way, and Jerry, you can explain what you've done.
And these chairs.
I've been asked to build drums, but it has never been this level, ever. And when Travis and I started talking on the phone and emailing, and he says, what could I do to help you to prepare this log? And I said, well, if it's already somewhat rotted out, take a chainsaw and cut and leave me about 4 inches all the way around, which he did. And he did it to this one. This belongs up here somewhere. And he said it was struck by lightning here, so it was charred and burned, and this tree caught fire. And I think that was the reason the tree, if that was the one near the cabin. And if you come up here before we leave today, you can look through and you can see where it went out. And then there was this area here, there was branches growing all over the place, and there was so much work. Dan Piper was right in the middle of this thing, scraping and cleaning, and I've got some right in the middle of it. And we've got video from the time it was come to us to today. So how long have we been in that shop? Month and a half? At least a month and a half or more to get all this done. And I would work 10 hours a day at work, and then I would go into the shop till 8:30 or 9 at night, and then go to work and come back and do it again. But I was so driven by the fact that there was a tree that came from the Red River Revival, and they pretty much determined that this is over 200 years old. And the spalted maple boards was up higher, and they were able to mill it. And some spirit-filled Amish in Montana asked me if they could help. And friends of Travis, I gave them the dimensions, and they cut them close. And then I cut, milled, and then being the plains is where the buffalo roam. These are all buffalo hides. I was able to acquire 6 big, full bull buffalo, and I was able to get 3 hand drums for them as well. And the Lord showed me something on this one here, and it's interesting. I was going to seal this up. And I got a word, you know, sometimes where thunder and lightning came into this thing. The word I got was, don't seal it up. Let the thunder and lightning come out. And I decided that was a good word. And it turns out, Rick, that this thing sounds really good with that. These holes where they are. They're the perfect breathe holes for this thing. When Jeff said that when they were clamoring for all this wood, we got the tail end of it. When Ricky Skaggs and his buddies said, we're going to make mandolins, guitars, ukuleles, everything, every string instrument imaginable that they play, they took the wood and they're making those instruments now. Ray Hughes has some of this wood, and he's making all kinds of things. He's making flutes, and he's making other things. And Ray asked me to build him a hand drum, kind of like that, but it's an Irish. You'd mentioned that this morning. Yeah, he asked me to build a Irish bow run for him. That's with a little stick. So I'm going to build an Irish bow run for Ray Hughes.
Is that North American curly maple?
That I don't know. I know it's maple. So, and initially, the native community, if you receive a drum, the elders or whoever receives the drum prays over this thing, and then they wait. It's almost the same naming ceremony as when they name children. So the drums are given names. And I wasn't felt led on the others because that one over there is going to northern British Columbia, where we were a few years ago, where we took this long trip almost to the Yukon Territory. Felt led, talked to Travis. I said, you know, if you're going to dispatch drums out, pray about Stikine, British Columbia. And they did, and they agreed. This one back here is going to South Dakota, and this one is going to northern Saskatchewan. And this thing was so badly in need of repair that I literally plywooded the back side of this and then bondoed and put screws in. And then I asked the resin master, Dan Smith, I said, hey, we need some help with this. And Dan Piper said, yeah, get a hold of him. He knows all about that. And I was able to seal this up now. So now it's as solid as a rock. You can't chip it away or anything. The Lord told me to inlay the old nickel and buffalo nickels in these handles. Two of them. Yeah. We'll put these ones in here. I'll do the other side. That's the only way to carry them. It's the only way to carry these things. And what Travis, after he saw pictures of it, he says, it's a Native American version of the Ark of the Covenant.
Definitely.
And the Lord told me and showed me that the posts were to be rock or have rock in them as the foundation, that he is the rock, he is our foundation. Yep. The rocks will cry out. And the thunder and lightning of his voice, I'm just praying that this thing, Travis wants to travel all over the country and possibly overseas with this drum. He is good friends of Ricky Skaggs and all these recording artists, and those guys want to hear this thing. So we're looking forward in this little town of Longview. We're going to make it happen. They prophesied. We're going to do. So we're taking these. We got invited to play at the at this camp, which is 3 miles. Do you have a picture of that of the monument? We're 3 miles from the Crazy Horse Monument. That's probably not it. That building was rebuilt 3 times, that log cabin. And to this very day, they have meetings. Right under his nose is where I dreamed of, if we were going to do it, that's where we're going to play. But the parks, you see that little hole there on the hill there?
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's where his arm's going to go. You can see the picture of what it's going to look like. And but that hole, someone told me that Mount Rushmore is just a little bit bigger than that tunnel. That's how big this monument is. Yeah, I want to play right there. So we're praying about it, and that's okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be there, but I'm just I just saw that. And what we're doing is we're honoring the Lakota. And the descendants of Crazy Horse, which are many, some will be there at our meeting. And one of the guys had changed his mind, who was a pastor, a fourth generation descendant of Crazy Horse. He pastors a church. And he decided last minute that he didn't want to be involved with this. But he prayed about it and talked to his family, and his family encouraged him to lead us. So the descendant of Crazy Horse is going to lead us up to this monument. And so we're going to drum with him, and he's going to be one of the first to drum on this drum. And we're considering literally taking turns, obviously. And I designed these handles so four people can come around this drum. So you can have one on each corner. And and I honored the different races with the red, the yellow, the black, and the white. And that's a traditional thing we do as Native people, the directions. So...
Yeah, there's this is just way too much time to pack into a short period. Come on up, Lisa, because there's just so many layers to this and so much. But what we want to do, Lisa's going to share this. Then we want to pray for this drum because it has a voice, and Jerry wants that voice released. I don't know if that's today or up on top there, but we want to pray over the drums, all the drums, where they go. And then we also want to pray. So the whole thing is this. Jerry and Leslie are entering into God's plan. God has designed this whole thing. And they need, apparently God wanted a drum maker from Longview. And so that's what's going on. But this is God's plan that he's in. So we're going to pray at the end also for any of you who feel like God's called you into his plan. Not your plan that you want him to bless, but you feel like he's called you into his plan. We're going to pray for you and release you along with releasing the drums.
During worship, when Jeff was talking earlier where he said, he asked the Lord, what are you doing here today? How do we line up with your plans? I actually said that when I sat down today. And when I did and worship started, I watched this huge sword come and go through this, and it just was huge, and it went right through the middle of that drum. And I said, Lord, what is it? And he said, Phineas's sword. And I was like, I don't remember Phineas's sword. I need to read Phineas's sword. When Phineas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose and he left the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel in the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Thus the plague on the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. And the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the high priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel. In that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. Amen. That's what was driven through this drum, and what will be released as this drum speaks.
So what Travis and his wife and Jerry and Leslie feel like is going to happen is this drum is going to release the Third Great Awakening. It's just important that we follow what God's doing and not try to make something happen. And that's what I feel like these guys are doing. So we're, Dan, why don't you come on up, get your worship team up here. Jerry, whatever you want to do with this drum. And in the midst of it, I just want us to come up here around the front and pray. And if it's appropriate, I don't know where things are going to go, but if it's appropriate, come up and you can lay hands on the drums and pray for them. Pray for what God wants to do. Pray that what will be released is what he wants, not what Jerry and Leslie or Travis and his wife want, but what God wants done. Because like you can see through what Lisa shared, his plans are a bit greater than our plans. This is not about the United States. This is about the earth and what's happening on the earth. Right? Jim? Yeah.
So what? We have different drums, right? These two. These performed by the hands of God. And when these drums speak, it will be the word of God, the rhema word of God, right? These speak, but these have the word of God through his hand. It would be like the logos is what I'm hearing. So, yeah.
Amen. Logos. So why don't you?
I want to say one more thing. Just one more thing about this. We have an elder that's going to lead us through the ceremony that we're going to be doing. And he says, Jerry.
Oh, it's okay.
We tend to focus too much on what's happening around the res right now. And if all of us would just lean on him, focus on him, he'll take care of the res stuff. And he says, just remember this, drum builder. He says, God prepared that tree for you to give back to the native people.
Yeah.
So Abba Father prepared it. And I had a dream 2 weeks ago, and I was in the dream, and I was literally in the earth, and I saw all the roots. I was right there, and I watched, and I'm looking at the root system of this tree. Then he took me up into the tree further, and I was inside this tree. And then he brought me out of it, and then he showed me the Lakota Nation, and there was this mass amount of water, which there probably isn't, and it looked like a lake, but a monster lake. And then all of a sudden, the lake emptied. And it just spilled out. And it was his presence. And it began to flow around the Lakota Nation. And he says there's going to be nourishment that's going to come up. That's the prayers of the saints. And he says that's what's going to come up. That's what we're there for. We're there to sing and worship and to release the sounds into the atmosphere of the Lakota Nation. So I saw that, and the Lord, I believe, brought me to that place. And this is what I'll share when we get there. So.
Very cool. Dan, go for it. Jerry, let's release that voice of that drum. Yeah. Rick, you want to come up here?
Thank you.
Lakota Nation, we pray. Abba, Fathers, release the floodgates of healing. He's released nourishment into the land again. He's released restoration. There's going to be a sustenance. Edible parts of me, says Abba Father. You will commune with me again, my First Nation people. As you ran the prairies and hunted and fished, raised your families, much has happened to the history of our Lakota people. Abba, we pray healing. We pray healing. Abba, we pray restoration. We pray healing. Abba, we praise you. We lift our praise. We lift our praise, we lift our praise to you. Abba Father, you are the Father of the Lakota, yeah. We give you praise, we give you praise. Atmosphere of the Black Hills and to the nations. Wake up, O sleeping giant. Wake up. The heartbeat of Abba will revive you. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. We're going to go and do what all but he prophesied, what Redding sings about. We're going to go and do. Release our First Nations people so they can sing their songs again. They can dance their powwows again, dress in their royal robes again. They will speak their language. They will be honored from the least to the First Nation. Abba Father. Abba Father. Abba Father, we need you right here in Longview, Lord, in our region, Lord, hear us. This is your voice returning, Lord. This is your praise. Receive our praise right here, Lord. Receive your praise. We lift you up here, Lord. Right here in Longview, Washington State. Prepare the way. As this drum and these drums travel to the nations, I pray that they will release healing. I pray restoration wherever they go, that people will be drawn to your voice. They'll be drawn to eternity with you. Release hopelessness. We just rebuke all of that alcoholism and drugs, suicide, on the res, Lord. We just pray right now. Let the floodgates come. Release it. Yes. Bring many.
We're going to have Jerry and Leslie come and sit down here. They definitely need prayer. And I'm just going to ask the elders, especially, to gather around them and pray for them. And then anyone else who feels like God has called you into his plans, just come up here and sit on the stage with them. Anybody else, if you feel like you've been called by God into his plans, it's not your plan, but it's his plan you've been called into, just come in. And there's a lot of you in here, so it's not just one or two. Yeah, just sit on the stage up there. And then the rest of us are going to pray. And you can come up and pray for the drums. You can come up and pray for Jerry and Leslie. Let's get the elders around them first, though. And just lay hands on the drums. Encourage the kids to come up with you. Get the kids involved in what we're doing. Just bring them with you and have them pray with you. And you can come up and go around here. Dan's just going to go into some worship. And we're going to have a time of prayer for the drums, for Jerry and Leslie, and also for anyone else who feels called into what God's doing. Up on the stage, come up and just pray for them. Just come on up and pray for these people that are up here.
Make me a house of prayer. a prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house. Day and night. Day, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, make me a house of prayer. Day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, make me a house of prayer. Oh, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. Day, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
We pray your spirit to be upon these people who are up here who feel called into your plans, Lord. We pray your spirit would empower them to do things that seem impossible now. We pray that everything they need to accomplish your plan, everything that needs to be, every door that needs to be opened, every bridge that needs to be built, would come to pass very quickly, Lord. That you begin to move with power and strength quickly to release these people to do what you've called them to do. That no one will be left out, that no one will be left behind, that your power and your spirit would be released. If you feel led, you can just bring up some cash for Jerry and Leslie to help with their trip. Just bless them. You can just put it down here at their feet, and that would be a huge blessing. If you feel like that's what you've been called to do, I'm sure that's part of it. And if you've been called to pray, this is where we're really calling you to step up and begin to pray for a release for them. Pray for a release for their ministry.
the sound of the drum. Release the next great awakening. Release the next great awakening. Oh Lord, release the next great awakening. Only you can do it. Only you. Release the next great awakening. Release the next great awakening.
Guys, this is Alicia, and she has something she wants to share with you.
Hi, everybody. So I was living in North Dakota, and then I ended up moving over to Utah, and it was kind of a dangerous situation. And I prayed to the Lord, like, where should I live? Where should I move here? What apartment should I live in Utah? And I got a word from the Lord that said Elliott Heights. So I looked up Elliott Heights, and it's in Kelso. So I was like, well, that's interesting, okay. So we moved up here about 2 weeks ago, and I've been finding that I'm just getting more and more in the Lord's will, like, and to serve Him too. Like, I've always wanted to serve Him, and I try all these lofty plans, you know, and I put together all these things that I think He wants me to do, and it never really works out. But just since being here, everything is moving like so smoothly, and I just realize that I'm getting more and more in His will, and it's amazing. So I'm just so happy to be here.
That's cool. Why don't you sit down here and let some people just pray for what comes next. Just pray for Alicia, that God would release her into everything that He has for her.